My theme today is what or who is your master? Now, some may think that's a strange question, but we are mastered by something. And the question is, what is or who is the best master to be mastered by? So we're going to look at that this morning, and we're going to look at it in relation to those verses that we read earlier from Matthew 11, particularly where it says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So Jesus is talking to us about a choice between being heavy laden and those who are heading in the right direction, who have a relatively light load to carry through life. The picture there of the man with a heavy burden, or the man whose load has been taken off by Jesus. The people who come to Jesus are ones who are seeking for goals, are not people who are seeking for goals that can never be attained. They're not people so burdened by life that it's difficult, that only by switching off can you get through it. These people have discovered the secret of a fulfilled life. They have responded to the invitation of Jesus to take control of their life. So 3 points this morning. Give your steering wheel to Jesus, put it into practice, and the result. Give your steering wheel to Jesus. So if your life is like a car, who has his hands on the steering wheel of your life? Is it you? Is it someone else? The first step is to recognize what will be the result if you continue to be the one steering your own way through life. Left to your own devices, you will inevitably have several car accidents, and the final accident will be a complete disaster, because if you're driving at the end along the broad road leading to destruction, then you end up under God's judgment forever. It's a terrible thing. Whereas Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, I'm religious, I go to church, I do my best, I try hard, I'm a relatively good person. I mean, God will accept me, there's no problem. When I die, God will say, well, yeah, you tried your best, I'll let you in. Perhaps you think the pass mark for heaven is 50% or even lower. But there's a basic flaw in that reasoning. The pass mark is determined by God. It's actually 100%. And none of us can pass. No matter how hard we swat up, on that last day, we will hear the words, fail, depart from me, I never knew you. That was a picture of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was relying on his own good works to be acceptable in God's presence, whereas the tax collector was saying, I can't approach God, I need his forgiveness. But coming back to the end, for those who are relying on their own goodness to get them to heaven, I never knew you. It's a terrible thing. if at the end of your life you hear from the Lord those words. There's a book called Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. And part of that book, the pilgrim is directed to climb a high hill to the house of Mr. Legality. And as Pilgrim tries to climb up the hill, the higher he goes, the steeper the hill gets. And also the more threatening it becomes. There seems to be thunder and lightning, and it seems to be very a bad destiny. It seems to be the result of climbing this hill. And this is a picture of someone seeking to attain salvation by his or her own hard work. If you try to reach God's high standards, you'll become weary. The rules will become a heavy burden to you. You'll be unable to carry that burden. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, yeah, but 50% will do. God will let me in. I'm not that bad a person. God is bound to let me in. But what does the Bible say? What does God say? He says, the wages of sin is death. Anything we've done wrong, the penalty for that is death. But, and this is the good news, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we trust in Him, we can receive eternal life. So there's a choice here, isn't there? We can continue to say, well, I'm in charge, I'll do the best I can, or you can give Jesus the steering wheel of your life. You can ask Him to take the driver's seat. Relying on your own efforts, the Bible is very clear. The end result is God will reject you. You need to give up the driver's seat and invite Jesus to take control, to take charge. So how do we put that into practice? Step one, we need to acknowledge that your own efforts to be good will end in failure. They won't be good enough. Step two, we need to come to Jesus and plead with Him to step in and take control. Pay up the huge debt of sin, which is taking you into a lost eternity. Only Jesus can get 100% in that final exam. Only Jesus is perfect. We can ask Him to take that final exam on our behalf. How would you like it if you were about to go on an exam and someone said, well, I'll take it for you. And he was certain to get 100% marks. That'd be quite good, wouldn't it? Well, Jesus is by His death on the cross, is able to forgive all our sins and, as it were, sit the final exam and pass with flying colours. Step three. Give Jesus the driver's seat. Let Him take the steering wheel so that He is in charge of what happens to you. Now, in the passage we read, it says, take My yoke upon you. The yoke, of course, was what was put on an oxen in order to plow the field or do some other activity. Now, it sounds like you're going into slavery. But the fact is that outside of Christ, you're still not free. And this came out in our reading in Romans 6. Your passions and desires control you. What is it that you want in life? Is it relationships? Is it money? Is it happiness, is it family, whatever it is, whatever is your chief desire, that is what will control your life, that will drive you. And the only way to be free from that slavery is to be given to God, given to Jesus as your master. Now, I heard a story of a lady in the early part of last century who was inspired by a missionary sermon to become a missionary. This lady did not then forget it, but actively planned for it. She went to Bible school, she went to interviews with missionary agencies. They told her she needed to have training, which she was getting, but also a husband. It was dangerous and culturally difficult to go as a single lady. So she said to God, "I'm doing all this training. The only thing I need from you is to find a husband." At the end of the training, no husband. No prospects of a husband. She asked God, what was he doing? Why had he not kept his end of the bargain? However, as she agonized about this, she began to realize she had never truly put Jesus in the driver's seat. She had not let go. She was still clinging to the steering wheel herself. And that night, really for the first time, she handed her life over to Jesus. The challenge this morning then is, have you really let go? To the extent your own goals and desires are driving your life, to that extent you will have anxieties, disappointments, frustrations, anger, despair. Only when you really ask God to take charge can you have true peace and joy. So this leads us on to the third point, the result. Let me begin with a true life example. Now, I think this example will show how far we need to travel in submitting to God and trusting him no matter what happens. You may think that it's okay for him, but I could never be like that. That will be where Jesus can transform you as you consider his love for you. You can trust and follow him. There is a hymn in a hymn book, which we will actually be singing as the last hymn, which has as a theme, it is well with my soul. And the picture is of the author of that hymn, Horatio G. Spafford. He was a successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago. He had a wife and five children. Their son, however, died with pneumonia in 1871. In the same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. However, he was able to pick up again in business and in 1873 planned a trip to Europe. On November 21st, 1873, his wife and four daughters travelled by French ocean liner to Europe. Mr. Spafford, at the last moment, had a business problem to sort out. But he said, "Go ahead without me, and I will join you shortly after that." 4 days into the Atlantic Ocean voyage, the French ocean liner collided with another boat, the Loch Earn, which was an iron-hulled ship. Anna gathered the children to the boat deck as the boat started to sink and prayed for God to spare them or help them endure the outcome. The boat sank, the four daughters all drowned. Anna miraculously found a piece of wreckage and was picked up by a sailor in a small boat who spotted her. 9 days later, a boat picked them up and took them to Cardiff, Wales, where she wired her husband with this message: "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Another of the ship's survivors, Pastor Weiss, later recalled Anna saying these words: "God gave me 4 daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Mr. Stratford Horatio booked a passage on the next available ship. Put yourself in his shoes. How would you react when you received such a telegram? With the ship about 4 days out, the captain called Horatio to his cabin and told him they were over the place where his children had drowned. According to Bertha Stratford, a daughter born after the tragedy, Horatio wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," while on this journey. The hymn goes, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." Both husband and wife had their hands off the steering wheel and were letting Jesus drive them. Whatever happened, they believed he knew best. So it is possible. How were they able to do it? They had passed their burdens to Jesus. The cross does represent Jesus dying to forgive our sins. We do need to ask Jesus to forgive our sins. But the cross is much more. It demonstrates a love which is awesome. That Jesus should die for us while we were sinners. Jesus is in total control of everything, but he also loves us. So you need not only ask for forgiveness, but also to submit to his lordship, to take his yoke upon you, to give him the steering wheel of your life, to treasure him above and beyond anything else. Only then will you find the grace and strength to endure the tragedies of life. If nothing's happened yet, be assured it will. What then will you do? Will you turn to God and put the matter in his hands like Horatio and Anna? Or will you go to pieces? At these times you find out who or what your treasure is. Is it health? Is it family? Is it job? Or something else? Or is it God? Romans 6 assures us there is power to put God first and not be enslaved by your passions and desires. When you turn to Christ as your Saviour and Lord, when your forgiveness is solely a matter for Jesus to deal with. David Martin Lloyd Jones, in commenting on Romans 6, used a helpful illustration. Imagine a society where one racial group, call them A, has oppressed another racial group, call them B. The group B have been slaves who have been severely beaten any time they stepped out of line. They were ordered about by those in group A, and if you were in group B, you did whatever those in group A told you to do. Now imagine that through an act of parliament, all the people in Group B were declared free, and any in Group A found breaking this law would be imprisoned. Now, is that all it takes for members of Group B to change their behaviour? No, those in Group B will still feel fear when in the presence of Group A people. And when people in Group A tell people in Group B to do something, they'll do it. Now, this is an illustration of a Christian. The Bible tells you, you are no longer enslaved by sin, by desire to do wrong. But when your old nature demands something, you meekly do it. But you are free to follow the desires of your new nature. Jesus has given you the power to change. However, it's not automatic. You have to put it into practice. And asking Jesus to be in charge and seeking to do what he wants, ignoring what drove your behaviour in the past, is the beginning. Now, some of you this morning will say, but I do not feel that power in my life. I feel so weak. When I have a desire, I automatically fulfill it, whether it's right or wrong. Now, there could be one of two reasons. Perhaps you've never truly come to Jesus. Perhaps you've never really asked him to forgive you and to take control of your life. If that's you, then this morning you can come to Jesus in prayer. Admit that you are not good enough, that you need Jesus' forgiveness. Recognize God, what God wants is best for you. And what God wants will really help you, will fulfill you, will give and enable you to give yourself wholeheartedly to obey him. It's a wonderful thing to truly know the Lord and have him as Saviour and Lord in your life. And it's simple enough to come in prayer and ask him to be your Saviour and Lord. But maybe you've done that. There may be another reason then. Perhaps you know in theory that God knows best, but in practice you do not really believe it. In practice, other things are more important to you. Can God change you? You need to say, I will take up Jesus' yoke. I will acknowledge again that he knows best, that his burdens are light. He has the best for my life. And recognize that Jesus has given me the power to change, no matter how I feel. That I will pray and ask God to change me. By this means, you can then tap into the power at work in you. The power, the Bible says, that raised Jesus from the dead is at work by the Holy Spirit in all who have put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. And as we say that, remember again that we always give ourselves to something. Either desires rule us and we obey them and continue to be enslaved to them, or you give yourself to God, and by obeying him you become his slave to do as he wants you to. So critical to understand that is working out what or who is precious to you. So here are some tests. What or who makes you really, really angry when you lose it? When something is threatened, you become paralyzed with fear. because what is really precious to you will consume you. So those tests can give us an indication of what is really precious in our life. Jesus is saying, come to me, make me precious above all else. Only then will you be able to go through life with a joy, a peace, and a power. Only then will you be able to stand the shocks of life. So, in summary, these verses ask us to give the steering wheel of our life to Jesus, to take his yoke upon us. And they ask us to put it into practice, to let Jesus really take control, to let him be the centre of our lives, the love of our lives, our Saviour and Lord. And finally, the result. Are you able to go through life saying, it is well. It is well with my soul. This is only possible by the power of God at work in you, allowing you by God's grace to rest in him, knowing Jesus has taken the punishment for everything you have done wrong in your life and will do. Knowing that when you die, you're going to be with him forever. Let's just pray for you. Lord, we do thank you for Jesus, and we lift up all here this morning that you know the state of their hearts before you. Lord, we do pray that those who do not yet know you may come to you and find you to be the one who forgives all their sins, all the things they've done wrong, the one who is now Lord of their life. And you also know that there are believers here this morning that we can struggle to really, in practice, put you first. That there are other things that distract us, that control us, that lead us away from you. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to come back to you and find the strength and power to make you precious and the only thing that is really, really important in our lives. Lord, we ask these things by your Spirit, to the glory of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.